This is Made in Montana News on the Treasure State Radio Network. I'm Jay Scott. Montana's winter will be among the worst for snowpack in 25 years, and forecasters say streamflow levels this summer could be well below normal across most of the state. Early last month, Montana forecasters and water supply specialists said the state would need above-average snow during March and early April, and a wet and cool spring to keep the meager snow left from melting away too quickly and causing low river and stream flows throughout the growing season and beyond. But according to state and federal reports and presentations released over the last 2 weeks, the recovery of the snowpack made in February and early March has tapered off and has continued. Quote, it's not likely a full recovery to normal snowpack conditions will occur by May 1st across Montana. That's from the Montana Snow Survey staff in its April water supply forecast. It was issued by the Natural Resources and Conservation Service. Since 1991, the median day that Montana's snowpack as a whole reached its peak was April 14th, with 18 inches of snow water equivalent. That's the amount of water contained in the snowpack. So far this year, the statewide average for snowpack is 13.2 inches on April 11th, 3 days earlier than normal and 5 inches below normal. The current snowpack of 12 inches of snow is just 74% of normal for this time last year. It is also in the 7th percentile when compared to 1991 to 2020. To start the month, 1 in 7 snow monitoring stations in Montana was showing its lowest or second lowest snowpack on record. More than 1/3 of them were reporting a snowpack in the 10th percentile or less compared to 1991 to 2000. Last year, the snowpack peaked at 18.1 inches of snow water equivalent on April 25th, but a quick melt-off ensued because of unseasonably warm temperatures. 2 weeks later, the snowpack was at 12.5 inches, and it was completely gone by June 21st. Normally, that doesn't occur until June 28th. As of Monday, the snowpack was gone in the Bear Paw Basin, 45% in the Upper Missouri Basin, 50 to 69% in the Sun Teton Marias, Upper Clark Fork, Bitterroot, Smith Judith Muscle Cell, Upper Yellowstone, Gallatin, Lower Clark, and Flathead Basins. Most stream flows are forecast to be between 70 and 85%. Of normal across all of Montana river basins. Rivers including the Big Hole, Blackfoot, Little Bighorn, Tongue, Clark Fork, Smith, Sun, and Teton are expected to see stream flows for April below 65%. A federal jury says BNSF Railway contributed to the deaths of two people who were exposed to asbestos decades ago when tainted mining material was shipped through Libby, Montana. The jury awarded $4 million each in compensatory damage to the estates of the two plaintiffs who died in 2020. Jurors said asbestos-contaminated vermiculite that spilled into the rail yard in the town of Libby was a substantial factor in the plaintiff's illness and death. The jury did not find that BNSF acted intentionally or with indifference, so no punitive damages were awarded. The railroad says it's considering whether to appeal. The BNSF spokesperson referred to it as a very sad case. Quote, they had the difficult task of evaluating conduct that occurred more than 50 years ago before BNSF even existed. BNSF attorney Chad Knight told jurors last week that that the railroad's employees didn't know the vermiculite was filled with hazardous microscopic asbestos fibers. Quote, in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, no one in the public suspected there might be health concerns. The railroad has said it was obligated under law to ship the vermiculite, which was used in insulation and for other commercial purposes, and that W.R. Grace employees had concealed the health hazards from the railroad. BNSF was formed in 1995 from the merger of the Burlington Northern, which had operated in Libby for some decades, and the Santa Fe Pacific Railroad. President Joe Biden has nominated Montana Attorney Dana Jackson to the U.S. District Court in Montana. If confirmed, Jackson would take the federal bench to replace Judge Dana Christensen, who late in 2022 announced he was taking senior status. That means a reduced workload. A tribal attorney for the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes, Jackson was formerly chief legal counsel to the Montana Department of Natural Resources following 6 years as an assistant attorney general. A notice from DOI in 2021 says she had spent her entire legal career in the natural resources and Indian law arenas. Democratic U.S. Senator John Tester said on Wednesday he applauded Jackson's nomination and said he'd work to confirm the nominee. Montana's Republican U.S. Senator Steve Daines blasted Biden for failing to confer with his office during Wednesday's announcement, but refrained from making an immediate judgment call. Quote, unfortunately, President Biden failed to seriously consult with me prior to making this nomination. This is inexcusable and a missed opportunity. I look forward to reviewing Ms. Jackson's background and record to evaluate if this nomination is the right fit for Montana. Judge Christensen, who was based in Missoula, had served as chief judge for the federal courts in Montana from 2013 to 2020. Judge Brian Morris in Great Falls has had that title since. Mail addressed to inmates in Montana's prisons will now be processed in Maryland beginning next week. Text Behind, the Maryland processor, will begin on May 1st scanning inmates' personal mail into digitalized files for Montana's three state-run prisons. The Department of Corrections says those who want to send mail to inmates should now do so to P.O. Box 247, Phoenix, Maryland. Two 15-year-old males who attend East Helena High School have been charged with two felony counts of burglary for breaking into Radley Elementary and East Vallon Middle School over the weekend, causing what officials say could be $200,000 in damage. The damage prompted East Vallon Middle School to be closed Monday for cleanup. East Helena Superintendent Dan Rispin said Monday evening that the school is now reopened. The school vandalism occurred at Radley at 10:20 p.m. on April 20th, and the second at the middle school at 1:33 in the morning on April 21st. Lewis and Clark County Sheriff Leo Dutton says the two were charged as juveniles, and the burglary counts encompass the vandalism. The two counts for burglary represent a felony in each school. Dutton said they appeared in a juvenile custody hearing via Zoom in front of Lewis and Clark County District Judge Christopher F. Dutton said both had been released as of 8 o'clock Sunday night. Most of the damage was caused to the middle school, but between the two schools, Rispin anticipates a bill of over $200,000. He said the district met with its insurance provider to work through the claims process. After filing claims, the insurance company will most likely seek restitution in court. Quote, a great news, the suspects are in custody. During Monday's cleanup, district community members brought food and drinks to the staff during the day, and school staff went to Costco buying out the stock available for one particular kind of student monitor. A recent study shows that Native Americans are more likely than any other racial group to die in encounters with law enforcement. Quote, I think you have to put it in historical context, and the reason we're near the top, if not atop the list, of both police encounters and fatalities must be understood in the context of colonialization and, in essence, century-old efforts to force indigenous people away from their homeland. That's according to Gabriela Galanda. She belongs to the Round Valley Indian Tribe of California and is a Seattle-based indigenous rights attorney. She said over the centuries, Native Americans were pushed against their will onto reservations. Many young Native Americans were forced to move again into far-flung boarding schools. Quote, which is to say that if someone's great-grandparents or grandparents or mom or dad were sent to boarding school or have suffered from some addiction or affliction as a result, that likely contributes to the moment that an indigenous person finds themselves encountering the police. Municipal and state police departments have jurisdiction outside the reservations, but the federal government plays a major role on tribal land. That's where the BIA's Office of Justice Services funds law enforcement. The power of tribal and OJS police is limited. When major crimes occur, such as homicide or sexual assault, the federal government takes over, and while tribal police can detain persons who are not Native, they cannot arrest them or prosecute them. A minor league baseball team in Montana says the U.S. Department of the Interior is making for unwarranted and relentless trademark claims in the battle over the use of an Arrowhead logo. The Glacier Range Riders in Kalispell applied for several trademarks and logo marks for the team that began playing in 2022. The logos include a mountain goat wearing a park ranger hat, a bear riding a red bus similar to those in Glacier National Park, and an arrowhead with the letters RR on it. The Interior Department opposes the use of the Arrowhead logo. The agency filed a protest with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, but it was rejected. The federal agency then filed a letter of opposition last June, creating a legal case that the team owners say will be costly to defend. A final hearing is tentatively set, but not till next year. Team spokesperson Alexa Bel Castro says the Park Service logo is an arrowhead enclosing a sequoia tree, and the National Park Service phrase is on it. The only commonality, she says, between the Glacier Range Riders and the NPS's logos is a generic arrowhead shape. Republican U.S. Representative Ryan Zinke questioned Interior Secretary Deb Haaland last week about the agency's legal action against the range riders, noting that other agencies, tribes, and teams, including the two-time Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, use an arrowhead in their logos and patches and flags. Haaland said she was not aware of the action against the range riders. They opened their 2024 season on May 21st. If you need to hear this report again, please check our Treasure State Radio or KGRT-DB webpages. Made in Montana News is podcast worldwide, with listeners in now 53 U.S. states and Canadian provinces, 3 Native American nations, and 33 countries on 6 continents. We also post expanded versions of our stories on Facebook. Made in Montana news is heard on the Treasure State Radio Network, including KMEH 100.1 FM in Helena, Elkhorn Mountains Radio County, Homegrown Radio in Bozeman, King West Radio in Billings, Rescast Radio on the Fort Peck Reservation, PIVA Radio of the Northern Cheyenne Nation, and Crow Res Radio of the Crow Nation. That's Made in Montana News. I'm Jay Scott. This is the Treasure State Radio Network.